I'm Amanda.
And I'm Mike. And
this is Saturday Morning Cereal.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Saturday Morning Cereal Podcast. I'm Mike here with Amanda, and today we'll be discussing The Flash. Flash was directed by Andy Muschietti, and it was written by Christina Hodson and Joby Harold. The Flash stars Sasha Calle as Supergirl, Ben Affleck as Batman Bruce Wayne, Ezra Miller as Barry Allen / The Flash, Michael Keaton as Batman Bruce Wayne, Michael Shannon returns as General Zod, Ron Livingston is Henry Allen, Angie Trow returns as Freya U. Jeremy Irons returns as Alfred. Chrissy Clemons makes a debut as Iris West. And Sarah Reese, Monica Jackson, is Patty Spivot. And Maribel Verdú is Nora Allen.
So, I mean, I really enjoyed this movie. I am not a big DC comic intake person. I mean, I know of Batman, I know of Superman, I know of Flash, I know of the characters, but, like, I've never really sat down and watched the movies before, so, you know, I just went, and, I mean, I was amused, but, like, I didn't understand a lot of the references that were in this movie, but, so, let's kick it off here. Mike, what is your understanding of The Flash before you saw the movie?
I'm a pretty big Flash guy. So, Flash was on Justice League, the cartoon show growing up, and he was just the funny wisecracking guy. And he was super fast, super smart, super witty, super funny. And then he would have these great emotional scenes. And he would just nail the emotional scenes. Really likable character. Mm-hmm. And then he was on Smallville as a different variation called Bart Allen. And that was kind of like my love for The Flash came from. Was just watching someone who could put Superman in their place and outrun Superman. And, of course, the CW show came out in 2014, and it just wrapped up its final episode, I think this month, actually. I think we watched it. So, yeah, I love The Flash. I'm a big fan of Grant Gustin's take on the character and Michael Rosenbaum's voice work, and Ezra Miller. They handle themselves pretty well in this movie.
Mm-hmm. So how did you think Andy Muschietti handled this character overall?
Well, Andy Muschietti is a horror director through and through. Mm-hmm. But what I really think that he is great at is working with children and shifting between tones pretty well. Mm-hmm. This movie had so much funny things in it, but there's also so many great action sequences. And the first action sequence in this movie just really sets up Flash and how his powers work. And what his kind of rules are, and the kind of a little bit more fun, lightheartedness to him, and I really liked it. What did you think of the falling baby sequence, Amanda?
I feel like I was the only one in the theater laughing at watching the babies falling out the window. I know a lot of mothers are probably like, oh my god, that is awful. But, you know, I'm a childless millennial, and I find, and Andy Muschietti is great in finding humor in things that shouldn't be funny. And that was one of them. So I'm a big Andy Muschietti fan because of it. I thought he handled that movie beautifully. So, I was really excited to see another one of his works, and he did really good. And I really enjoyed this.
So despite you not knowing too much of The Flash, could you follow this movie?
I could. Yeah, I could. I mean, there were some parts I was a little confused about, but I think you and I were confused over the same things, so I guess that's good. But yeah, I followed it pretty good, and I think, too, like, every movie and every, like, I don't know, like, company, like Marvel and Disney and, you know, we had Everything Everywhere at Once. Like, there's so many movies and shows dealing with the multiverse now that I think I'm just so used to the multiverse stuff that it's like,
back in my day, we had to sit in a class called Physics 2 to understand the multiverse.
Yeah.
So, Amanda, did you appreciate the more comedic elements to this movie?
Yes, I did. I made a comment after the movie ended. I was like, this movie was a lot more active as far as, like, fan reactions than any DC movie I've ever been to. And by that, by me saying that, that's only, like, maybe, what, four at the most. But I felt like I was at a Marvel movie. I mean, people were applauding at some parts. And yeah, I enjoyed the humor. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the humor and the kind of like self-deprecating humor that Flash has. And the fact that he wasn't afraid to admit that he's kind of like, he's not part of the holy trinity of the DC universe with Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. And he's just kind of like the janitor. But my favorite part was just how many kind of little jokes they get out of, like, our preconceptions about pop culture, like, the 80s movie references, and then, what else was, and then all of the way that...
Nick Cage
was, well, Nick Cage wasn't funny in this movie. And the way that they got humor out of him always having to eat, and just all the food-based humor.
Oh, yeah.
It was really funny, like... Like, it was, I laughed, I was bursting out laughing when he was trying to save all those babies and he was running low on energy. And he's like, well, I guess I have to eat this food. And he starts eating out of a vending machine while it's falling out of a skyscraper so he can rescue all the rest of the babies. That's really funny.
Yeah, that part was really funny. So there was just a big shift between very funny scenes and very dramatic scenes. So how do you think they handled the more dramatic scenes in this movie? And did you feel it when Barry said goodbye to his mother? I sure did.
I'm going to be honest with you, Amanda. I did not as much feel this scene.
Okay.
Because I'm a big fan of the CW show. And the CW show nailed this scene. They had this. Yeah. They had a scene just like this where Barry has to accept that his mother passes. That it's his destiny. It's her fate. In the first season during the finale, and I remember being very teary-eyed, being very emotionally moved by it. So when I saw it in this movie, I kind of was like, well, I've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, but it wasn't the same effect to me, but it was still very good performances, and his mom was a very likable character.
I like that actress. Yeah, she was really good. So how do you think Ezra Miller handled performing multiple roles?
I think that they did a great job. I was very much a fan of the way that the Barry from our reality went back in the time and ran into a younger version of himself. And the younger version of himself is basically an audience stand-in. And we got to discover the Flash's origin story through this younger Barry. And we got to see him get his powers. We got to see him, you know, cause all this trouble with, like, flashing people. And phasing through walls or not phasing through walls. And I really like that. I don't know if they had a body double there and they did like a two camera approach and they just cut everything up and composited it, or if they did like a deep fake on some really like approximate stand in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they did?
I don't know. I think they maybe Lindsay Lohan it from Freaky Friday.
That's
had
what
a stand
in. Too.
Yeah. Just because of all the closeness of the characters to each other, they have to almost have a stand-in for that. But I, too, thought it was really good. And I really liked how, well, we'll talk about it later, but how they kind of became brothers in a weird way. So, I don't know, I enjoyed that.
So, Amanda, despite not having seen the Batman movies outside of your boy Christian Bale, and just seeing Ben Affleck kind of like guest star in these other movies, what did you think about Michael Keaton returning to this role, and did you like his take on Batman?
I did, and it was like I was just telling you in the car. I really liked the classic feel, look and feel of his Batman. It was just simple. It wasn't fancy. It was just simple, and it had that like classic look to it. When I think of Batman, I think of that, like, very bat and brooding. I don't know Batman too well, so I don't know how to really explain it, but
angst.
Yeah, the angst. And I just, we were saying, we think Ben Affleck might have been trying a little too hard in the role. Now, I used to love Ben Affleck. Like, I used to have a crush on him back in the day, like the Armageddon movie and all that. But, like, you would think that I would think he would be a good Batman and stuff, but I don't know. Like, Michael Keaton was really good.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me as an audience member, like, when you get to see a hero that you love kind of just, not necessarily fall from grace, but kind of just settle for so much less than what they could do. And I remember watching Into the Spider-Verse and seeing how Peter Parker had just gotten so tired and exhausted and had been, like, wrung up from all his failure. And then seeing him with a kid and being older is something you don't get to see Peter Parker do a lot in the comics or in any other medium. And we got to see this Bruce Wayne, who basically solved all of Gotham's problems.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the mission he wanted to accomplish, which was to bring justice to Gotham. And there's a funny joke in this movie about when Ben Affleck gets the lasso of truth around himself from Wonder Woman, and he starts talking, and he says, well, if I just donated a lot of money and I got rid of poverty, I'd probably stop a lot of crime. I'm like, he's on to something there. But yeah, you mentioned that you thought that this new Batman reminded you so much of old man Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I don't know, I think it was just because he did his time, and he just wants to retire in peace now with his spaghetti.
His spaghetti. I really loved the Michael Keaton Batman vehicles.
Yeah, me too.
Especially the Batjet. The Batwing. Oh man, that was so cool. And the way it had all these extra features, like the parachute chutes, you know,
yeah,
where you could skydive out of the bottom. And it had those revolving wings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so cool. And it could kind of hover in place like a Harrier jet. That was so cool. What would you rather have, the Batmobile or the Batwing?
The Batwing, hands down, because you can fly. I don't like driving.
And Batman had, like, the classic, like, grappling hook.
Yeah.
And then he had just...
He had throwing stars or throwing bats.
The batarangs, and then he had the grappling hook on the Batwing, which he used to take down the Kryptonian Air Force. That was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the Batcave looked really cool as well.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, like, old-timey but futuristic.
Yeah.
And it was lit really well. And the blues and the blacks were there. And it was the waterfall was there. And it was over this giant abyss of darkness. So cool. Like,
again, the classic feel.
The classic feel.
It was like a breath of fresh air, you know? Like, we're just so used to all this, like, fancy stuff, like CGI and all that, but... You know, it brought it back. And sometimes it's just good to get nostalgic.
Yeah, the practicality of this Batman, he was enhanced through the use of stunt doubles being younger than 71. But yeah, it was cool to see a more practical-esque approach to Batman.
Mm-hmm. So we have a new character, and it's Sasha Kelly Supergirl. What did you think of her?
Well, originally I thought that this was going to be a different version of Supergirl, but they went with the classic Kara Danvers, Kara Zor-El version. So I'm very familiar with Melissa Benoist playing the character on the CW show and Laura Vandervoort playing it on Smallville. But I feel like Sasha Kelly's version was really good as well because she was a feminine character. But she wasn't, like, a girly character, and she wasn't, like, in your face, oh, I'm a powerful woman, look at this. Like, she was just rage, and she was just getting stuff done.
She was just there. She was present, and that was it. She had a mission, and that was it. No funny games, no intros, no, you know, I mean, it was just enough. But
yeah, just enough to develop her. And the suit looks so clean.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And then the hair and the cape. Was really cool. So, Amanda, who do you think was the main antagonist of this movie? Was it Zod?
No, I think it was Barry himself. Just wanting to bring his mom back and not having any sort of, I don't know, he didn't think about it first. And no offense to Bruce, he didn't even try to stop him. Like, come on, Bruce, you know?
Bruce tried to talk him out of it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I didn't feel that connection between Bruce and Barry. I don't know. But anyway, I digress. No, I think Barry was the main antagonist in this movie. Which Barry? You know?
They're the same Barry.
They were all the same. And
really?
Yeah. They are obsessed with bringing back, or more like changing what happened to their loved ones. And without thinking of the consequences of everyone else, like how it would affect everyone else. And not, you know, they were just so like, me, this is what I want, this is, and then, you know, it blows up literally in their face. How about you?
I think it was incredibly brave and forward storytelling that you could get such a character-driven conflict in this movie. And the fact that he was essentially his worst enemy, and how he just kept on getting worse and worse and worse because he could not accept or grieve the death of his mother. And he basically turned himself into the bad guy. Like, that's so cool. Like, the only other movie that's done, I couldn't think of another, like, mainline story where the hero has to stop themselves and they're the worst enemy themselves. Like, that's very clever writing.
Yeah, it was different. I agree. This film has received a lot of criticism for its visual effects. Did you find them acceptable?
I will say that the uncanny valley in this movie is very, very deep. Very, very big. Those babies, they looked really bad.
Yes.
And it's cool. Okay. The opening sequence where Flash runs from Central City to Gotham was awesome, and they did this, like, kind of like rack folk. They did this thing where the lens kept on getting wider or narrower depending on how fast the Flash was going, and it distorted the environment around him, and he kept on running. That was so cool. Like, when I was shooting Mach, I wish I could have shot something like that.
Yeah.
But those look really good. And then he had these really cool sequences in what's called the Chrono Dome.
Yeah.
And basically, it's the timeline conceptualizing itself as a spear, and the more you run in the spear, the faster through time you go. And I thought those sequences, how that was arranged, was really clever. You got to see the whole timeline spinning around him like a clock. But the CGI in that was incredibly flat.
Yeah, I agree. I was not impressed with a lot of the yeah, whatever that was called.
The Chrono Dome.
The Chrono Dome, yeah. And it lost me a lot. Like, especially when they returned and then the world started to crash into each other. I was like, what's happening? Like, it was just, a lot of things were distorted in that part. Yeah, I agree with that. Which cameo excited you the most?
There wasn't a lot in the movie that was, as far as cameos go, that was archive footage that excited me, because they had Christopher Reeve there, they had Helen Slater, Supergirl, they had all these characters, but they were like all from previous movies, or they were deepfakes, or CGI. That didn't excite me. Seeing Wonder Woman again was really cool.
I was excited when I saw Wonder Woman. I was like, yes.
She's there. I love Wonder Woman. But like, they gave all this, they gave like a, I don't know, maybe like a 90-second sequence to Nicolas Cage as Superman, and I understand that that's a very deep cut Easter egg. That's because Nicolas Cage was going to be in this Tim Burton movie called Superman Reborn or Superman Lives or something like that, and the movie just got shut down. And for them to just give us that and not give us something more exciting like Grant Gustin or someone from the Arrowverse or another legacy DC actor coming back, like, that wasn't cool. So, I don't think the cameos were all that hype in this movie.
Yeah, I turned to you and I was like, Nick Cage is Superman? Since when? And you were like, no, it's a joke. I'm like, oh.
Well, it was like an homage to a movie that never happened.
Gotcha.
So, that's, you know, I wouldn't know about that unless I heard Kevin Smith's really funny talk about it. So, yeah, gotcha. I mean, waste time on that. It wasn't cool.
Yeah.
So, man, as a more casual fan, do you think that the DC Universe basically soft resetting their pre-existing continuity in characters and recasting characters like Superman and Batman is a good idea? And is there anyone from the current continuity you think has to stick around?
I don't know, honestly. I did like this movie, and I would watch a second one, just because The Flash means so much to you on a personal level. But, you know, yeah, I would watch Ezra Miller's Flash again. I thought he did a great job. And I mean, I'm just not... I don't know what it is. I just haven't latched on to these characters to the point where I'm like, I need to see so-and-so again. So I'm just going to bounce this question back to you.
I think Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn is excellent. And I think... goodness, that's about it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Ben Affleck return, maybe in this movie. Maybe another movie he wouldn't look so bloated, I guess, but...
yeah.
He's moving on. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've gotten George Clooney as Batman. I guess he's going to be the new Batman going forward. So, what do you think about George Clooney as Batman, Amanda?
I was like, ain't he a little old?
He is 61.
Like, I don't want him to break a hip. I think I'm more afraid for his safety than anything else.
I'm just wondering... if there even is a Batman in this new universe, because Bruce Wayne's there, but Bruce Wayne has a beard.
Oh.
Batman wouldn't look good with a beard. Do you think he would look good with a beard? I don't think so.
No.
Especially with a gray one showing his age.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that.
No. Okay, so, originally, the movie's ending was Michael Keaton's Batman and Supergirl becoming residents of the new timeline to set up the Batgirl movie, and Ben Affleck's Batman reaching out to Barry across the multiverse, asking for his help to return home. Would you have preferred this ending over the one we watched?
Yes, I would have preferred this ending so much more, because, again, back to George Clooney, I feel like that's kind of it's a bad position to put the character of Batman in, because that was a critically panned movie, where the fans didn't like it. And that's what we're going to go forward on. I mean, Michael Keaton is there. Michael Keaton is ready. Michael Keaton had another movie lined up, and we're just going to throw that all in the trash for George Clooney because, yeah. Oh, hey, look, it's George Clooney. Like, come on.
I think George Clooney is just such an overrated actor that it doesn't even excite me to have him around. I don't know.
And Sasha Kelly sticking around as Supergirl, like, that would have been cool to involve her more, but like, I just don't feel like Man of Steel was a strong enough movie to build an entire cinematic universe on, and to continue anything from that continuity is a mistake, because it's just my opinion. Some people will fight me on this, but Zack Snyder, the director of Man of Steel, did not understand Superman. Superman represents hope. He helped people. And the big dilemma of the Man of Steel movie is Superman questioning, hey, should I help people? Do I represent hope? That's what his dad was asking him. His dad was like, just, you don't deserve to help people. You don't need to do that. Like, what's up with that? And then he's killing Zod? Like, what is it that Miles Morales was trying to do at the end of Across the Spider-Verse? Just find another way. Like, that's what superheroes do. They find the third option. It's what they always do. They don't have to fall down this dark path and kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They find another way.
Right.
And that Superman did not find another way. So I would have been all for Batman sticking around, and maybe Kara could have died or gotten a soft reset or continuity outside of that Man of Steel setup.
Mm-hmm. So hold that thought. So with Blue Beetle in August and Aquaman around the corner in December, so far, James Gunn has announced several films like Superman Legacy, Supergirl, World of Tomorrow, Batman the Brave and the Bold, and a Swamp Thing movie. Do you have any interest in these films?
I could not care more for Aquaman. I saw it and I was like, well, this is just so bland and uninspired, and I just didn't care for the character. Nothing about that movie hooked me in and made it a fun watch. But I am excited about Superman Legacy because, again, like, I feel Man of Steel, not a strong Superman movie, not good for the character of Superman, so I'm excited to see what James Gunn does. I know we're getting a younger Clark Kent, and it's going to be more centered on journalism. And I think he just got to go for it. I mean, Clark Kent is a guy from another planet who reports the news. And his arch nemesis, Lex Luthor, is a bald real estate tycoon who hates immigrants. Like, make this a movie of the time. Like, maybe cast a Hispanic person of color to play Superman. Just go for it, you know? Sink it in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what Superman is about. When he was first created, he wasn't only fighting aliens. He was fighting the elite of the world. He was fighting bad cops. He was fighting people with a lot of money, billionaires, people who exploit other people. That's who Superman stood up to. So go for it, James Gunn. I believe in you. As far as, like, Supergirl goes, I mean, that's a critically acclaimed comic that they're going to base it on, so I'm excited for that. I haven't read it yet, but hopefully I will, and it's a good movie. And Batman, again, George Clooney, not my pick, but The Brave and the Bold will feature my favorite Robin, which is Damian Wayne, which is the daughter of Batman and Talia Al Ghul, who is Batman's mentor / villain. So that will be an interesting take, and seeing a father-son dynamic through Batman will be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Swamp Thing?
Yeah, I have no idea. But I do think we are due for a good Superman movie.
Yes. I don't think you've seen a good Superman movie, have you?
I don't think I have, no.
I mean, the only good one is the first two Christopher Reeve movies.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I don't know if I've seen them. My dad had them on, probably, but I couldn't tell you.
So DC and Warner Brothers will be producing films outside of the mainline continuity established in The Flash. Like Joker and another Superman movie. So do you think that this is just too much for the casual audience member to keep track of?
Yes and no. Okay, here's the thing. We have Spider-Man movies that are different. And, you know, you know that it's a different storyline, whatever. But, you know, I think the audience just has to keep an open mind when it comes to that stuff. I did not like Joker, but then I watched it again. And then I liked it.
Yeah, you had
because I had a better understanding of it. Yeah. So I think if the audience just goes into these movies with an open mind, knowing, you know, don't expect to have this continuity thing going, you know, and just, you know, watch what's in front of you and take it in, then yeah, I think it'd be fine. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great for the directors of the movies that they can just establish their own continuity outside of the DC universe, whatever it's called, like Joker and the Batman movies. I think that's good. So we'll see if it works out for them. Sometimes you might get too much Batman, but is too much Batman a problem? Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, we had Ben Affleck running around. We had Michael Keaton return in this movie. We have George Clooney coming back, so lots of Batman. We'll see how it goes out for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't forget Robert Pattinson.
Oh, yeah.
So, yep. So many Batman, but we'll see what it works for them. And that's going to wrap up our discussion about The Flash. Thank you for listening. Me and Amanda both enjoyed the movie, and we're excited to see what else the DC Universe holds. So please keep listening and have a great day.